We're doing Maaseh Shimshon, and we're continuing in the eighth section. Shimshon vayelech vayikcha leisha. So Shimshon goes and takes her for his wife. Vayas hamishte. Shimshon makes the party. This was the ancient custom in the days of the Talmud as well, that the chatan made the party. Vayomer hidato laplishtim, and now he's going to say his riddle to the Philistines. So we'll just introduce what we're doing here. We have a new face here. Baruch haba. We're reading a play that was written by Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato, and we're analyzing it. There's no commentary that I know of that was written on the play. Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato was a big Torah scholar, and so as we read through the play, we read through it and appreciate its literary content and its poetic form, and then we start analyzing from a Tanakh perspective possibly what was Ramchal alluding to. So we begin. Samson is speaking to the Philistines, and he begins. He calls them Achai, brethren. Na shima'uni, please hear me. Ordinarily, we run through it and then we analyze it. Over here, I'll give you a clue. Who's the first Jew to talk to Philistines in the Tanakh?
Shimshon.
Avram. Where does Avram talk to the Philistines? Right. And then we find when Avraham needs to bury his wife, so he's talking to the Hittites, and we're going to see that there's a huge correlation here between Avraham's conversation with the Hittites and the conversation Shimshon's going to have with the Philistines. There Avraham is burying his wife, and here Shimshon is ostensibly marrying his wife. We're going to see he ends up marrying her too. But he thinks he's marrying her. So the whole speech has sections where you see borrowed terminology from Avram's conversation with the Hittites. Achai na shema'uni. My brethren, please hear me. Achuda na chida. I will please say before you a riddle. Kiet li smach, for it is a time to be happy. V'tagidu talim tuchalu. And you tell me the answer to the riddle if you can. Hine zman natati, I have given a time limit to my riddle. Shivat yemei mishte asher hodas, the seven coming days of feasts which I will make. Halo lifulatchem ken zachar yiyeh, yehi, the wages you'll get for your actions. Ki motat tagidu, if you will reveal the riddle to me. So then, chalifot gadim usdinim yachad, I will give you a change of clothes and covers. Mehem shloshim elcha ve'etena. I will give you 30 suits and 30 sets of linen. Imlo, and if you do not figure out the riddle, li titenu atem kasot, you will give me in kind the equivalent. Kicheni neyata, because that's what's fair. Im yeshet nafshechem, if you agree. Ata shema'u chidati zot im la'agida tedu. So then now you should hear my riddle if you will know how to tell over the interpretation of the riddle. They answer and say, Chuda chidatcha v'nishma'ena. Say your riddle, we'll hear it. Okay, let's analyze that before we move forward. So Shimshon begins his speech with, Achai. My brothers. It's interesting that throughout Tanakh, where we find the word achai, it's very often not to brothers. It's where you're trying to convince someone that you're close to them or they should be close to you. I'll give you a few examples. Where do we find it? God asks Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he says, I don't know, Hashomer, Achi Anochi, am I my brother's keeper? Oh, they're real close there, right? If we look for the word Achai, so the first time it appears in Tanakh is when Lot goes out, he's surrounded by the Sodomites, and they want to rape his guests, and he comes out and says, Al na Achai Tareu, brothers, please don't do evil. Very close there, right? We continue, and we come to the pasuk Yaakov comes to a well. He's running from his brother Esav. He's new to town. He doesn't know the shepherds for beans. And he's about to ask them for information. So he says, Achai me'ayin atem, brothers, where are you from? And they say, oh, we're from Haran. Very interesting. He doesn't know them, but he calls them brothers. Yeah, Achai. So Yosef is looking for the brothers. Et Achai anochim vakesh. I'm looking for my brothers, right? And over there, he thinks they're close. Doesn't exactly work out the way he's expecting. Okay. Now let's continue. So he begins, he calls them Achai, brothers. Na shima'uni. So that's a play on words, because when Avraham turns to the Hittites, he also says, Shema'uni ufiguli be'Efron ben Tzohar. Hear me out and plead on my behalf to Efron. So the term Shema'uni is speaking to foreigners. There are other sources where the word Shema'uni shows up, which is also interesting. Let's look it up. If we can open up the Chronicles B. Okay, Chronicles 2. Chronicles B, the 15th chapter. So let's see what's going on there. Chronicles is the end of Tanakh, right? Ezra writes this book, a record of the lineage of David, and then...
Which chapter?
Chapter 15.
Chronicles was written by Ezra?
Yeah. So Azariah ben Oded had prophecy. That's the first verse. And the second verse is, Vayetze lifnei Asa. He went out before Asa, Vayomer lo, and he said to him, Shema'uni, Asa v'chol Yehuda v'Binyamin, Hashem imachem v'yotchem imo. Listen to me, he says, Asa, Judea, Benjamin, God is with you if you are with him. V'im tidrishu, yimatze lachem. If you seek him out, he will make himself available to you. V'im ta'azvuhu, yazov etchem. But if you leave him, he will leave you. So when he's about to tell them about life, so he tells them, Shema'uni, listen. So Shimshon begins with Shema'uni. And we have to ask ourselves, what is Shimshon driving at with this riddle? What's his goal here? And what are the Philistines going to do? So we know they're going to cheat. And what was Shimshon thinking? Food for thought. So, Shimshon says, let me tell you a riddle. So that's the words of the Pasuk. Ki eit lismach. Now you have to see something amazing. Let's open up to Ecclesiastes, to Koheles. Right, before you open up, I'll challenge you. Does any of you remember where the words eit lismach come from in Koheles? Okay. Our listeners are probably thinking what the Christians call the third chapter. Because in the third chapter, King Solomon speaks about lakol zeman, there's a time for everything, right? Eit laledes, there's a time to be born. Eit lamut, you guys probably know it from that book, A Time to Kill, right?
the bird song.
What?
The song about the birds.
Yeah. The song about the birds, okay. good for you. But if we look through the verses, what we find is it never says eit lismach. Never says there's a time to be happy. It says eit livkot, there's a time to weep. The eit lischok, and a time to laugh. Eit sefod, there's a time to lament, to eulogize. The eit rikod, and a time to dance. But never time to be happy? Oh, so the chusid among us gave us a good answer. I happen to agree with that. I think that that's part of what King Solomon is telling us. There's no one time to be happy. Simcha, which is a happiness that should stem from internal tranquility, should be a constant. So when Shimshon uses the words eit lismach, it's so humorous. He's taking a concept which doesn't exist in Tanakh, eit lismach, a time for real happiness. The Philistines are very good at lischok, to jest, to be lightheaded. But lismach is deeper happiness, it's real happiness. And Shimshon is telling them, now's a time for real simcha. Is it a time for real simcha? I guess happiness goes to an extremity when a person is getting married. Now the word lismach is very interesting because how many times do you think the word lismach shows up in Tanakh?
Three times.
Okay, find it.
That's a much more difficult task than guessing.
Control F.
Right. Okay. Let's see. You're guessing good, not bad. Okay. I can't find my notes here. Tav, we'll continue. The word lismach appears twice, once with a vav, once without a vav. But I have to find it. I'm missing it in my notes. Here. Okay. We'll continue. So Shimshon tells them the 7 days of happiness asher od a'as, that I will do. And we said that's unique, that Shimshon makes his own party the way Jews do. And he concludes by saying, im yeshet nafshechem, if you so desire, that's again a term that Avram used in speaking to the Hittites, im yeshet nafshechem. Now let's continue. So we're continuing with the text. The Philistines say, chudach idatcha v'nishma'ena. Okay. Give us your riddle, we want to hear it. Now the word nishma'ena could mean we will hear it, could also mean we will understand it. We'll figure it out. So Shimshon says, im chidati zot tachpetsu ladat, if you want to know my riddle here, hatu oznechem li'imreifi ata. So listen closely to what I'm about to say. Mei ochel yatsa ochel, umini az matok. From the consumer came out food, and from the brazen one, sweet. What should they have said? They should have said, from the Philistines came out your wife. We are the consumer of Israel, and from us came your wife. From we are the brazen ones who have overtaken you, and from us came the sweetness of your life. Your wife, you're at a wedding. Isn't that the most obvious answer to the riddle?
They weren't Jews. We'll give them a
Okay, so that's his riddle. Let's see. Hine igati lachem chidati, atai gidua. I've told you my riddle, now you tell the answer. Im lo etivrechem elai takimu. And if not, then you should fulfill your end of the deal. Fulfill your words. Fulfill your words. Maybe this is the stress of what Shimshon wants to prove. Chazal say, why did Shimshon take faxen and tie them and tie torches in between their tails? Why specifically a fox? He wants to burn down the Philistine grains. Why does he do it with foxen? So Chazal say there was an internal message here. The fox is the only animal that runs in a zigzag. When you chase it, it runs forward. As you run forward, it runs backwards. It keeps retracing its steps. The fox always looks over its shoulder. It's always looking behind as it runs. So Chazal say, Shimshon was alluding to the idea that the Philistines are like the fox. That there was a deal between us and the Philistines. We weren't going to harm them. They weren't supposed to harm us. Avram made a deal. Three generations. And the Philistines, they went back on their word. Here they were harming us, afflicting us, putting us in forced labor. So Shimshon says, I'm giving you a riddle. And if you can't figure it out, so then live up to your word. Now that's something it doesn't say in Tanakh. Ramchal sticks it in because perhaps this was the stress of Shimshon's riddle to show from the onset that these people cannot be trusted. Heinat shivat yamim lachem ochila. I will wait 7 days for you. Ata v'yom tova nismach nagila. Now on a good day, we will get together, be happy and rejoice. We have this good period now of rejoicing. Let's enjoy the festivities. Meanwhile, you guys think about the riddle.
7 days because of the Shavuot Brachot?
Correct. V'yom tova. So let's open up to Koheles, to Ecclesiastes 7. Where do we find this concept, v'yom tova? Shows up once in Tanakh, Yom Tova. Seven. So, this is a very important chapter. We're learning it. We do have a class in Koheles and Ecclesiastes. There's a lot to talk about here. Okay, let's run through the pasuk, through the psukim. We'll familiarize ourselves with what's going on here. Tov shem yishem en tov. A good name is better than good oil. Good oil loses its fragrance, right? You buy a good perfume, you put it on. By midday, it's gone. But a good name, it's supposed to last. So this is going to be the theme of many of the verses here, that the final outcome is so much better than the beginning. We tend to celebrate when things start, when we inaugurate. And in truth, it's when things conclude that we should celebrate. Because like Shlomo HaMelech says, Tov Yom HaMavet, the word Tov in the beginning of the Pasuk refers also to Yom HaMavet. The day of passing is better than the day someone's born. At birth, there's great potential in both directions. But when he's passed from the world, okay, then you see his accomplishments. Tov lalecht el beit evel, milecht el beit mishte. It's better to go to a house of mourning than a party. Because we're all going to end up there at some point. And this way, the living will think about life. They won't just run through life. Tov kas misecho, kivro apani mitav lev. Better anger than foolish laughter. Lev chachamim bevet evel velev kisilim bevet simcha. The heart of the wise is in a house of mourning. They think about it. The heart of the fools is all about happiness. Tov lishmo agarat chacham yishome shir kisilim. It's better to hear a wise man yell at you than to hear the praise of the fools. They're happy to praise you, but it's not beneficial for you. Kichekol asirim tacht asir kenzchok aksil gam zehaven. Just as under the pot, the lids of the pot, you have a pot making noise and it's unpredictable. You don't know when it's going to make noise. By the same token, it's unpredictable when the fool is going to sing his praise and when he won't. So this is worthless. Ki oshek yolel chacham v'yabedet lev matana, tov achi tavam reshito tov erechuach migevar ruach. The conclusion is better than the beginning. Patience is better than haughtiness. Al tevahel beruchacha lichos, ki chas b'chek silim yanuach. Don't be quick to anger. Anger is a hallmark of the fool. Al tomar me'aya shaymim rishnam yutovim me'ele, kilom chokhmat shalta al ze. Don't look back and say, wow, things used to be so much better It's not out of wisdom that you ask that. Life has to move forward. Looking back is not the attribute of the wise. To look back and say, boy, the 50s, now those were good years. Wisdom is good with a portion, and it's even better for those who see the sun. Really? Now this should automatically turn on a warning sign by you, Shamish, remember? Shamish, we said, is going to be an allusion to Shimshon. So, wisdom is good with inheritance. And anyone who sees the sun has appreciation for this. See, very often when a person gets an inheritance, so they don't develop their brilliance because they have the inheritance. It's funny, I've seen so many people where the inheritance was their biggest curse because they never developed. It was just a weight. You know, when people don't have it, then they wish they did. But when people do have it, then they don't know what to do with life. Tova chokhma im nachala. Wisdom is good, and it's good if it comes with an inheritance. V'yotel ha'ra ha'shamesh, and all who see the sun all appreciate it even more. Ki v'tzel ha'chokhma v'tzel ha'kasef. V'yitrondat ha'chokhma t'cheye be'alea. Because in the shadow of wisdom is the shadow of money. If you're smart, you should also be able to use it to make wealth. It doesn't say that if you made wealth, that means you're smart. That's not what it said. It said if you're smart, you should also be able to use it to make wealth. And extra knowledge gives life. People can foresee what's coming. We're coming up to the next pasuk, which is the one Shimshon is quoting. Look at what God's done in the world, because who can fix what's been ruined? You know, excuse the example, but my friend sent me an email that under Obamacare, he's not allowed to go on vacation because if he needs a doctor, he's not allowed to take a doctor other than his own. So what happens is if you go on vacation and you need a doctor, you go to the emergency room. So for many reasons, the emergency rooms are now the only venue that people under Obamacare can get care. They sometimes have to wait in line for weeks. So why would you wait in line for weeks? Go to the emergency room. So you look at it and you ask yourself, is this fixable? So many things are happening. Cancer patients can't get the treatment they need if it's out of state. Because sometimes people live like right by the border and they go across state lines to get certain treatment. But now they can't. And of course, they were promised they'd be able to keep their plans, but suddenly they can't. So the one thing that struck me, that just this week I was thinking about it. Can someone fix this? Meaning, we're starting to see ripple effects of problems. And I said before the previous vote, I said every Jew has to vote because you have to realize it's a question of life and death. People don't yet appreciate the question of Obamacare or not. But if it's the right move, then it'll give life to a lot of people. But if the way a lot of us suspected, it's the wrong move, a lot of people will die. It's not just a question of paying more or paying less. It's a question of life and death. So then you start thinking, okay, how many more years does he got? And can anyone fix this? Shlomo HaMelech says, look at what God does in the world. Because when we ruin things, who can fix them? And Hashem constantly changes the course of nature and life, and things just flow. And suddenly things work out very different than what you'd expect, because that's when you have full control. We make a mistake, and then you look at it and say, how can I undo it? Now what? I'll give you the smallest example. You say something you shouldn't have. Now what? Give me a while. How can you fix it?
You can't fix it. You can't take it back.
Right? It's one of the scariest things. Biyom Tova, and this is the pasuk that Shimshon quoted a minute ago. Shimshon says, now let's be happy because it is Yom Tova. So now Shlomo HaMelech says, Biyom Tova Heye Vitov. On a day that's good, so be good. Uviyom Ra'are. And when it's a bad day, so then look at what's going on. Recognize that life is like that. God created both sides of the coin. There are going to be good days. There are going to be bad days. Look at it and recognize that that's part of life. You have to realize that there's nothing afterwards. Life is here. You have to accomplish here. Later on, you reap the benefits. There are better days, there are worse days, but you got to get it done over here. B'yom tovah heyei v'tov. Now, the pasuk juxtaposes the idea that there's a good day and there's a bad day. How many people think about the bad days when they're dating? Or when they get engaged? Or when they get married? And then suddenly, you got a deal. There were years where guys would complain about the classes in the Jewish home. Like one guy said, listening to these classes, why would I ever want to get married? And I had a hard time because those were the beginning years of this class. And I said, I think that the classes will give you the tools to deal when the problems come up. Since then, it's been almost a decade now, I had the good fortune of getting feedback. And students can actually say, yes, when this happens, I know exactly what's happening. And I can react correctly and at least not get so agitated. And students have told me it's a big help to them. But when I was starting out, I always had this question, maybe I should be stressing other things, but I want to be realistic and to tell you about how to behave when things are going right. No, you don't need me for that. The question is how to deal when either to ensure that things continue going right or when not. So it's an interesting thing that Ramchal uses the term the Yom Tovah. It's a day that things are going right. You know, it almost sounds like the guy where all his days are going wrong and he finally has a day that's going right and he says, let me bask in the glory of the day that's going right. Ata, now, b'yom tovah, we finally have a day that's good. Nismach, let's be happy. Nagila, let's rejoice. There's truth, there's depth to this concept. Chazal tell us that on the day of the inauguration of the Tabernacle, the Mishkan. So the happiest person was Elisheva bat Aminadav. Her husband was the Kohen Gadol. Her brother-in-law was the king, the leader of Israel. Her four sons were Kohanim. Everyone in her family was leading the procession of serving Hashem. And the day doesn't end before she loses her two sons. Nadav and Avihu die, the fire comes out, and then the Medrash starts showing us how throughout history, people have highs, and then they come crashing down, and the highs just don't last. The Medrash speaks about the giants of Jewish history. Avraham Avinu, he finally stands up to the final test. He does the Akedah, right? So life's great, he comes back home and his wife's dead. You know, okay, now what? Deal, okay, go bury her. And the Midrash shows us throughout history, it goes line after line, and you see that history and the Torah is very realistic. Life is a series of events, some of which are tragedies, and there's always that responsibility to deal. So the Midrash says, enjoy it when it's good. Very often, we're very focused on what's not right, what could be better, what we wish were here. Focus on what's good. Again, I'll give you a small example. My wife and I got engaged, and no one was here from my family. So who's going to drink the l'chaim, right? I'm all alone. So everyone calls in and says, Mazel Tov, but still you're all alone. You know, those are one of those moments where you'd like to have your parents, your siblings, someone. But then you have a choice. What am I going to think about? Am I going to think about this or am I going to think about that? And I told you the same thing happened with our first son, Baruch Shem, had a pidyon haben. No one was here. There I am standing opposite the kohen. He asked me, which do you prefer, your son or the money? And there's no one to smile to, right? There's a, you have your in-laws, you have your brothers-in-law. But at the end of the day, there's that feeling, and you have a choice. What are you going to look at? What are you going to focus on? And we have those choices all the time. You can look at the positive and say, this is great. Smile and focus on what's good. So Shimshon tells them, and what he's saying is really a lesson for life. Biyom Tova, this is a day that's good. So nismach, let's be happy. But for the Philistines, it's not such a good day, because they see the looming threat of losing all this money. So the Philistines go to Shimshon's wife, as we well know, and we'll begin the ninth section. Yelchu eleshet Shimshon, ki tefate isha. They go to Shimshon's wife, they tell her to seduce her husband. Ve'agid la hachida ve'itagid lahim. He will reveal the riddle to her, and then she will reveal it to them. And they begin their speech, Halo at achoteinu. Now, I don't know to explain this, but throughout Tanakh, whenever you see people trying to seduce a woman, they begin with questions. And it begins with the snake. Af ki amar Elokim, didn't God say you shouldn't eat from all the trees in the garden? And then she says, no, that's not what God said. He said this, he said that, he caught the mistake. So maybe the idea is get her talking. Once you get her talking, you'll find room to break in. So they ask her, no, aren't you our sister, achotenu? Misholshenu haporemi ben timnata, from our blossoming root, from the people of Timnat, aren't you one of us? Lo namine fo, we don't believe, kitimasivanu, that you will find us revolting, v'chirekam tashivi et panenu, and you'll turn us away clean. Da-da-da-da-dam. Right? Again, the negation. We don't believe that. Ka'it asher atanu chalot panayich, now that we've come to make our request of you. Now it's interesting the term they use, achotenu. Remember Shimshon called them achai? And what do they call her? Achotenu. Now the word achotenu appears three times in Tanakh. It appears twice with regards to Dina, who is abducted by the people of Shechem. Their sister was taken into the Jews. It's like the reverse of Dina, right? So the Hachizonaya set achotenu, the brothers say, well, will he make our sister like a woman of ill repute? Or latet et achotenu leisha shelo or la, can we give our sister to a man that's uncircumcised? Notice everything switched. Now the Philistines have given their sister to the man that is circumcised. So this is the exact opposite of the story of Dina and Shechem, only obviously this is by will and that's by force. Here she's taking a step up, there she's taking a step down, but there is that element. And so and the third time we find it is when Lavan is sending off his sister, Rebecca. They bless her and they say, Achotenu ateila alfei revavar, sister, you should be, you should number tens of thousands, millions. Okay, so they tell her, Im tovi lishmo lefatot et ishech, if you'll agree to listen, to seduce your husband, ve'aged lanu divrei chidato, he'll tell us his riddle. And there's a lot to discuss here, but we'll have to pick up here. B'zachem next week. Yeah.